Scoot Henderson works out for the Portland Trail Blazers. There's only one other NBA franchise he's going to work out for. We'll talk about the 27th overall pick as well and give you some Brandon Miller updates all today on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
We're Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz. We live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free and available anywhere you get your pods. That does include YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Promo code Locked On. That's also Doug Branson. Catch his work on his Substack and his website, everyhornetsboxscore.com. And you can listen to me on the radio weekly, every weekday from 12 to 3 on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Did you see the video, Doug? I know you saw it. How happy were you about the video?
What video?
Well, the Scoot Henderson video.
That video.
Him out.
There's only something happened with your radio station or something. I'm like, did you meet Scoot? Did you meet Brandon? What? No. I saw the video. I'm super excited to talk about it. I do have an announcement, though.
Right.
I have a big announcement.
Okay.
If you're ready for it.
So, and you know it's big, too. When Scoot has his first workout, he told you he's only going to work out for one other NBA franchise. But all that needs to step aside just for a moment, because you do have this major announcement. What is it, Doug? What's your announcement?
The announcement is that the Locked On Hornets podcast will be broadcasting live during the draft. You can catch it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Locked On Hornets podcast. We have some accommodations, some live studio accommodations that we have acquired in Charlotte. That's right. I will be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Hornets when they make that pick at number two. We're going to be broadcasting for, I want to go an hour before the draft, I think, and then an hour after the draft starts. So we'll take you through the second pick. And then, of course, the next day we will recap it all, 27th pick, all the second round picks and stuff like that. We'll recap that the next day. But huge stuff. It's going to be a fun time. I know David Walker's going to be involved. You're going to be involved. I'm working on Nada. Nada and I are texting right now. We are in heated negotiations to acquire Nada's talent for draft night. So it's going to be a good time to hang out with the gang.
All right. So Doug is in Charlotte. That'll be fun. We'll have a live show for you a couple of hours. I don't know how much I'm going to be involved, by the way, because I think I've got some WFNZ obligations.
You've decided who's more important. That's right.
And my big boy paycheck did as well. And so they're pulling the strings on that one. But if we're going to do this an hour beforehand, then perhaps I do two segments off the rip and then leave in the first half of the show, something like that. So, this is an announcement to me too, for everybody wondering, like, I didn't know what this announcement was. He said, I've got an announcement too. I'm going to make, I was like, do we want to lead with it? I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
I didn't want to say anything until I knew for sure that we had gotten the studio accommodations. This is going to be a big deal, folks. This is going to look good. This is going to sound good. We're super excited about it. We'll be in Charlotte, and I'm stoked.
All right, there you go. So that's the announcement. We have an NBA live draft show for you. That'll be a lot of fun. Of course, June 22nd, when we all find out if Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson will be the pick. And we saw him work out for the Portland Trail Blazers, Doug. They put out the hype video as well. The team released this video. We got to see him dunk. We got to see him in some PNR action, kicking out to the corner. We got to see him hit, I believe, 4 3-pointers in a row is how many I counted. So 4 is all I need to be tantalized by the one, Scoot Henderson. What did you make of this workout video and the fact that he said he'll be working out for Charlotte? He confirmed he only has one more workout, only working out for the Charlotte Hornets after Portland, and that'll be it, Doug. What'd you make of all of it?
Well, he said, I think I have one more in Charlotte. So that's okay. I think
it's reported too. Like, we know it's reported as well.
He's definitely going to work out for Charlotte. And he's made that decision that, hey, I'm only going to work out for Charlotte and Portland. And I think that's an interesting decision, because if he does indeed fall to 3, it's not a guarantee that Portland will make this pick. In fact, I think that Portland releasing this video is not just to get fans of Portland excited about the idea of Scoot Henderson. I think it's also, you know, essentially kind of putting out a little tantalizing video for maybe some other teams that may be interested in trading up for Scoot Henderson. But, you know, Scoot could have gone into this process and said, you know, there's an opportunity with the second and third team in this draft having their point guard position already pretty secure in Dame Lillard and LaMelo Ball, that there might be the likelihood that this pick two or three could get traded. So I should go work out for other teams that might trade for this pick. But instead, Scoot said that he's only going to work out for Charlotte and Portland. And I think part of that is, as a prospect, I think there's this idea that you don't want to even lend credence to the idea that you could fall past three. So, hey, I'm not going to work out for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I know it's 2 or 3, and that's what I'm going to hold on to. And so it's an interesting decision and leaving a little bit of mystery out for some of those teams that may want to trade up to 2 or 3 to get Scoot.
Yeah, and I understand the decision entirely. I just don't see any reasonable way that he falls to number 4. It makes sense that Scoot would want to work out for only number 2 and number 3 with Charlotte and Portland. I know they have both guard opportunities with Damian Lillard, with LaMelo Ball, with, you know, I mean, multiple guard backcourt opportunities is what I'm saying. But I don't think Portland would pass on that. Maybe Charlotte would with Brandon, but we'll see. And what's interesting to me, Doug, is that Sam Vecenie has talked about, and Jonathan Givony has talked about how Mitch Kupchak puts a lot of stock into the workout, which is weird because we've seen the Hornets draft in the Mitch Kupchak era where guys are not worked out and then they go ahead and select that guy anyway. And so that's a recent development. If it is a development, don't know if Givony is getting that from Mitch himself or he's getting that from outside sources with their take on how much the personal workout means to Mitch Kupchak. We do know that it's going to happen. Hornets will release a video, you would imagine, as well, and we'll see exactly how that compares to what Portland released.
Well, I think it's mattered, maybe not to the first-round selections that Mitch has had necessarily, but to some of the later picks that the Hornets have had, especially in the second round. Like, a lot of the guys that they end up taking in the second round are not huge surprises. They are guys that you know, have had connections to the Carolinas before in the Martin twins, or have, you know, worked out for the team. So I think it is important. But look, if a guy's not going to work out for you, especially where the Hornets have traditionally drafted in that sort of 10 to 12 mm-hmm. to 13 range, like, then when you're near the bottom of the lottery like that, guys can sort of use positioning tactics at that point to say, look, I'm not going to work out for Charlotte because I really want to be taking 8. You know, so then you've got no choice. But the Hornets are in the catbird seat right now at number 2. Scoot doesn't have much of a choice but to work out for Charlotte. Brandon Miller wants to work out for Charlotte. I think what's going to be interesting, do the Hornets release any kind of video of a workout with Scoot Henderson, or are they just going to keep everything? They don't want to give any kind of indication as to Scoot or Miller. Will, you know, we've been putting a lot of attention on Brandon Miller's interview that's going to happen on June 10th, but with the mono that he had, I guess, after the season concluded, after the tournament, and mm-hmm. coming in to the combine, I guess underweight or out of shape was the sort of language that was used. You know, will we see him work out? Will that matter? Is that going to move the needle for teams? Or teams going to go, look, you got to chalk up. He's had a rough start to the offseason. This workout, you can't make, you know, solid judgments about it. So many questions up in the air. It's going to be a tough situation for Charlotte to try to figure out. And I know we've got more on Brandon later in the show.
Well, yeah. And last thing on Scoot, I guess I did just kind of say that, assuming that they'd release a video. I guess you're right. It's not 100% certain. We do know that Charlotte likes to be a little bit secretive. They'll release videos of other prospects though. So maybe it doesn't. You had one other thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, if they are only going to work out Scoot and they're going to interview Brandon and not work him out, like, if I were the team, I would not release video of Scoot, because then you're telegraphing a little bit, I think. So I think Charlotte benefits from keeping things mysterious from a trade the pick standpoint. You know, you want to keep all of that leverage as possible. Whereas Portland, I think, because they have Dame Lillard, And everyone sort of knows what their situation is, that they're kind of on the fence about which way this franchise is going to go. And they've been, I think, more open about the idea of trading that pick. I think they're a little bit in a better position to release a video like that. And also, an interesting quote from this that I had down in the rundown is that they asked him about, you know, fitting with Dame. Because they've, look, Portland's gone down this road before. They've had CJ McCollum with Dame. They've had Simons now with Dame. And his quote is great here. He said, "Those guys have different games than me. Anywhere I go, I think I can fit in. I can do a lot of things on the floor. And I think that's the beauty about me and the beauty about being Scoot Henderson. I'm going to give 110% every time. I'm an attacker. I'm a facilitator. And I can do a lot of things on the floor. I think I can fit in anywhere." He also said that he has younger legs than Dame. I mean, like, Scoot is so uber confident. And to go out and say, "Look, draft me. I'm not CJ McCollum. I'm not Simons. My game is totally different. I just love Scoot."
Well, he said, I forget what he said about Steph Curry. He said this is what it was. It was during the combine interview with him. Zach Lowe was up there alongside Malika Andrews. And he said, "Yeah, Steph Curry can help me, and I can help him in some way." So there was the one thing he said. But then he also talked, God, what else was it that he said about just being uber confident in himself? It was something about Damian Lillard too, to that effect, where, you know, he was saying, he's got a dog in him too. Like, yeah, he's a dog too, like me. You know, like Dame's like me in that regard, which is just funny. Well, yeah, goodness gracious. I was gonna say something. Well, go ahead. You got another thing. You got another thing that you wanted to say?
Well, just that I think that Charlotte would be a better place than Portland for that kind of attitude. Charlotte needs that kind of attitude. There's no one else in the locker room that has that kind of attitude. Whereas I think you would conflict with Dame. A lot of people have been focusing on the conflicts between LaMelo's game on the court and Scoot's game on the court. But to me, there would be no conflict in the leadership role because LaMelo has not come in and like taken that immediately. He's not taken the reins of the team. And you've almost had like Terry Rozier in this weird way say like, I'm handing him the keys. But like LaMelo has not gone and said, "Hey, I'm the leader of this team. 100%. It's me. Let's go." And maybe he will, maybe next season when he's fully healthy and he says, "Look, this is my team now. I'm taking him to the playoffs." Maybe that's the thing. Scoot, if he comes in, is going to say that.
We'll see if it is Scoot or if it's Brandon Miller. I did have some finishing thoughts coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Finish him.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
We'll talk a little bit more about Scoot, number 27, because the Hornets have quite a bit of picks to go through here in the NBA draft. And then we'll also give you some Brandon Miller updates a little bit later on. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's a fantasy sports website or app where you can pick 2 to 6 players. And if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you watch as well. The WNBA is in full effect as the NBA finals are dwindling down. The NFL, when it picks back up, you can get involved there. The MLB, the NHL, PGA, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis. There's so many other sports. Just go to prizepicks.com and check it out for yourself. Download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com, play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks gives you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. More Locked On Hornets coming up next.
This is Locked On Hornets.
I'm a fantastic Googler. I'm bad at logging in. If they were to do sort of a scouting report of me and my ability to use the internet.
Todd.
Yeah.
Excellent Googler. Not a very good guy that's logging in. Very good at interrupting the host anytime he's trying to go on a rant.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
So people were losing their mind over the Scoot Henderson video. Everybody loved it. Goodness gracious. He's super athletic. So what I thought of the video, yes, super athletic, awesome. I don't know if it's the differentiator between other hype videos that I've seen with other prospects. As much as I love Scoot, I don't know if I'm looking at, oh my God, this is boom. Like, it's just a nice, it's a fun hype video. Here's the thing that I take notice of more than anything. And it's not all that different from his playing days, like just seeing, watching game film. But he looks even bigger than he did when we were talking about him being a linebacker, even during his actual playing the games. Like that guy, Doug, I was trying to think about it just in a brief moment during the first segment. Mm-hmm. Is there another guard as yoked as that guy in the NBA? I really don't know if there's anybody that has bigger arms in the backcourt that's anywhere close to the 6'2 height that he is that looks stronger. There can be some functional strength that doesn't possess itself with or display itself with some kind of amazing biceps and triceps. Like, I just don't know if there's anybody that looks as strong and as jacked as Scoot Henderson in the backcourt. I can't think of anyone.
No, I think, you know, that's where the Russell Westbrook and who is leaner, I think. But and then Bledsoe, oh, yeah. I've seen some Eric Bledsoe. I mean, you get a little bit of that like stocky.
Bledsoe's a great, that's the one. And I was thinking about Bledsoe too. Jamal Murray's big and he kind of got bigger as he went on in the NBA. But I mean, he's not jacked like that. He's just a he's even 6'5". So he's like even taller than what Scoot is too.
No, Scoot's a tank, you know, and I think
just a tank. Like, he's just a tank is what he is.
No, he's a unit. And he is. He's like a this used to be a Twitter thing, a Twitter meme where it would be like retweet this. And it, for every 1,000 retweets, I'll make this building get taller or something. And it would go into outer space.
Oh, right.
And I feel that way about Scoot. Every time I see this man, he gets bigger and bigger and he's just going to be in outer space at some point. No, I'm. I was super excited by the video, knowing that Portland's going to be very careful about what they're releasing here. You know, you're not getting to see. You're getting to see what they want you to see, just like any team. Portland's no different in that respect. So you're not. If Scoot missed a bunch of 3-point shots,
you're starting to think like, wait, they only showed 4. Well, why didn't you show 5? 4 is such a weird number. If it was 3, that would be a little bit understandable.
Why
you
4?
Go 5? Yes, that's like a arbitrary yet understandable number. Why only 4? That was weird. And so maybe I'm asking more questions now about Scoot. Now I've opened it up to Brandon.
Well, this is what the draft period does to you. It makes you, and especially for the sickos out there, it makes you even more sick because everything confuses you. Nothing makes sense. No one knows anything. I was listening to a podcast with Fran Fraschilla, and he came on and said essentially what I said, which was nobody knows anything. It's all smoke and mirrors, and a lot of people are making guesses, and you're trying to figure out who people are. And what their games mean and what G League Ignite means and what college means. And, you know, it's just a lot of people not knowing a lot of things and it can do things to people's mentals. So just take care of yourself out there. I just want to apologize to Walker in that first segment. I was just super excited about Scoot. And, you know, I felt like you had a lot of things to say and I was just burying you and I apologize. No. I just want to just get that out there. You know, I want our relationship, you know, to be one of honesty and trust. And I'm sorry.
I forgive you. I would still select you number 2 overall. Number 1, you got to choose Wimby, and you can understand that. But I'd still take you over Scoot and over Brandon Miller.
Scoot's got to be, you know, if I could crawl into Scoot's brain, I feel like I would find a little bit of disappointment because you probably at some point in time, he talked about this in his post-workout availability that, you know, someone asked him like, why are you so confident? He's like, look, my family's been hyping me up for a long time. There had to be a point in time in which Scoot Henderson believed I'm going to be the number 1 pick in the draft. Holy bleep.
Yeah.
And then along came this freak of nature out of France and stole that away from him coming out in the same year that he was going to make himself available. And so then you go, all right, well, fine. I'm the 2nd overall pick. There's still a lot to be had. I'm still going to be a Hall of Fame player. I'm going to be awesome. No big deal. And then the lottery comes along, and 2 and 3 are occupied by teams who already have a point guard. So despite the fact that he's been very vocal about the idea that he can fit in that scheme, I'm sure if you injected him with a little truth serum that he would say, yeah, I'd probably rather be on a team where I can just fully dominate, like a Detroit, or which has Cade Cunningham, but really that guy's probably better shooting guard, and or Houston, who just needs anybody. You know, I'm sure he would, in his heart of hearts, want that to happen more so.
Yeah, 100%. But it is nice to hear that Scoot is willing to play whatever, like go with LaMelo, go Damian. He wants to be number two. We know that. He's not going to be number 27. There's no way he falls that late. We know that for sure, Doug. So let's talk about some of the prospects that do fall to 27. When you look at some of the guys there, they've been working out quite a bit of prospects. So they're starting to get right in the middle of all of that. Julian Strother, Omax Prosper, a large amount of people talked about Omax Prosper winning the NBA draft combine. He was excellent up there in Chicago. They worked out Marcus Sasser. They worked out some local guys, Tyree Appleby, Leaky Black. If you are some ACC fans out there, Hunter Tyson from Clemson had a good year. But those first three names are some of the names to really point to for number 27. What have you made of the group that they've worked out? And do you want to just take like the whole home run approach here at 27, or do you want to get somebody that you feel great about contributing earlier rather than later, instead of getting one of these project picks that they've had in a Kai Jones, even a JT Thor to some degree, and James Bouknight, even though that might be unplanned?
Yeah, I think at this point in the process, as I'm looking at big boards and mock drafts develop, it seems like a lot of the big swing opportunities are floating up the draft. One that I had my eye on that I was super excited about if this player would have stayed down in the late 20s range was Koulibaly, who was Wemby's teammate with the Mets in France. And it looks like now Wasserman has reported that there's a team that has promised Koulibaly a pick in the lottery. You've got Wemby helping him out, saying that this guy should be essentially the quote was, this guy's being viewed as a top 10 pick. He should be viewed as a top 5 pick. And so, you know, it's a good year to be Wimby's friend. I'll just say that. I don't know who's promising Koulibaly what, but I don't think he makes it to 27. So then I think if you're going to keep the pick, you should value somebody that can be a solid contributor. I think it should be someone that can contribute more on the defensive end of the floor. That's why I would love Prosper to be the pick here, because I think he's somebody that's good enough offensively. Like, there are some shooting concerns. There's some handling concerns. Offensively, he's not going to jump off the page. But defensively, he's exactly what I've called for before this draft ever got kicked off. I've been saying almost for two seasons now, hey, the Hornets could really use a guy in the wing type position that can just be a lockdown defender, that really can put the clamps on a guy, and that person not be PJ Washington. They've too often had to defend on PJ to be that guy, and I don't think you want PJ to be that guy. Prosper can be that guy. I think he could be an immediate contributor in that respect, especially if, look, I've seen some video of Cody Martin. He's working out. He's looking to get healthier, but I think there's some question marks, you know, around that injury. Is he going to be fully healthy for the next season? That, I think if they're going to keep that 27th pick, I'd look to maturity and somebody that could play right away and can give you contributions on defense. I think Prosper fits that bill.
No, I like that as well. I want somebody that can fit that bill a little bit more as well, Doug. And so we see a GG Jackson, who is someone that didn't have the greatest year at South Carolina, but you're still drafting him on a ton of potential. This is someone that was a crazy high-rated high school prospect. He committed to North Carolina, decommitted, then goes to South Carolina. The Gamecocks did not have a good year this past season. And so you can look at an SEC pairing with a Brandon Miller and a GG Jackson, or you could go with another just teammate pairing with a Brandon Miller, talking about Clowney. You could also go to a Scoot Henderson, whoever they draft here. Like, would you like a teammate pairing or a GG, Doug, at number 27?
For the reasons that I just stated, that I think they should look for maturity at this point, I wouldn't go GG, because I think, you know, we had Barlow on the show and he said, you know, the issues that GG had at South Carolina were related to his just wanting to win so badly and be a part of that winning, it came out in an immature way. And if you're an organization that has won anything but a lot of things, then I think you can take that risk, because you have some institutional guidance that can happen, and somebody comes in maybe with like this idea that, hey, this organization is on solid ground and I can bide my time here, get stronger, wait, and eventually have my opportunity. But with Charlotte, I would worry about something similar to what happened with James Bouknight, where Bouknight came in and wanted to just be the guy right away. And when he wasn't, he got super upset about it and tried to fight the coach. So this is not an organization that I would say can handle somebody with maturity issues. I really think they've got to really focus on getting solid character guys and then going and winning something so that you can put yourself into a position to take some swings on some guys that are a little bit more turbulent personality-wise. In terms of teammate pairings, I mean, if Leonard Miller is there at 27, I think you run to the podium and make that pick. I mean, I think he's got a potential to be like a top 10 player in this draft. Maybe I'm just like super high on G League Ignite guys. I don't know, but when I watch Leonard Miller, I think, wow. I mean, he's got length and athleticism that I think are super interesting to me. So.
Well, and Marcus Sasser, too. I wonder, just bringing it up to Sasser once more, if you go with Brandon Miller, I wonder if Sasser makes more sense to get some backcourt depth, right? Like, so, okay, you miss out on Scoot. You decide you're going to go with Brandon Miller instead, go to the wing position. I wonder if that's where a Sasser might make more sense, because look, you're supposed to draft whoever is the best player at 27, right? Like, you can draft multiple. I wouldn't be mad at a pick at the same exact position at number 2 and 27. I think maybe the Hornets might be more inclined to go that route if they did take the wing that is Brandon. And so maybe that's another reason. They're working out a ton of dudes right now, but maybe that's another reason you might consider him a little bit later in the first. You had one other thing real quick.
Well, just that I think getting somebody at 27, and I don't know that they're going to keep this 27th pick, honestly.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be dealt. But if it's not, if they do fall in love with the guy, I hope they fall in love with a dirty work player. And I think Leonard Miller definitely fits that bill. Versatility on defense, a guy that's going to give you toughness and rebounding, and he's going to go after it. It's a guy that I think Steve Clifford could fall in love with. Again, it doesn't hurt that you bring in a guy that also has some connection. I mean, I don't know what their relationship is necessarily, but a guy that does have some connection with Scoot, if Scoot's going to be the pick, bringing in Leonard Miller wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah, if it's not good and Scoot's like, oh, thank God, I can finally play with someone else, and then the Hornets bring Leonard Miller in. If that's not the – you're right. We just assume it's going to be a good thing to bring in the teammate. But maybe they didn't get along. Yeah, that's reckless. I'm sorry. We're being reckless here on Locked On Hornets. All right, one more segment to go coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
We'll give you some Brandon Miller updates just surrounding that entire situation. Some misreporting on behalf of the New York Times a while ago. Now we do have some clarity, and we'll also give you a few more updates that we kind of learned throughout this process on Brandon. That's coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast. All right, Doug, we have a few more Brandon Miller updates to get to, as teams have been looking for new information on this, including the Charlotte Hornets, where Gavoni reported that they sent investigators down to Tuscaloosa to find out more information for themselves. Everyone else is doing the same thing, and perhaps in all of that and just the natural legal process of this entire situation, more information has come up. From the New York Times, that reported this on June 2nd, so just a few days ago, as we recorded this Monday, June 5th, the New York Times said, quote, a student manager of Alabama's men's basketball team said on Friday that he had been a passenger in the car of a star player, Brandon Miller, during a January shooting in Tuscaloosa. One person was killed, and Mr. Miller's car was hit by stray bullets in the episode, which involved multiple vehicles. The manager's name is Cooper Lee, and he acknowledged his presence at the crime scene to the New York Times after another player, Kai Spears, sued the newspaper that week for having reported in March that he had been in Mr. Miller's car when its windshield was struck by bullets. Okay, so that's the entire, those are two short paragraphs. Doug, I guess for me, so one, you have the manager in there. Okay, that's a new piece of information. But perhaps we haven't talked enough about, quote, hit the car being hit by stray bullets in the episode. So maybe this is just, I'm surprised that we haven't talked about this enough, because I didn't know about it. Because anytime that we look at this, and perhaps that's a stupid admission, it really might be a stupid admission on my part, but anytime we talked about this, any reporting to me had been read like Brandon Miller brought the gun 2 miles to the point where Michael Davis used it. And then he left as soon as he brought the gun, and then maybe the whole the shooting, the murder happened as he was driving back or whatever, right? I guess I just didn't know that the incident occurred, you know, very soon after he brought the gun and he fled with his car being hit by stray bullets. To me, that was a little jarring. I don't know where you stand on some of this.
I feel like I knew this. I can't confirm that I can neither confirm or deny that I knew this, but I did feel like that I knew this. And I did find a report all the way back in February 22nd from TuscaloosaNews.com that has a statement from Brandon Miller's attorney at the time. And the attorney was disputing any notion that Brandon Miller had touched the gun, that right. his vehicle was blocking any other vehicles from leaving, you know, essentially saying Brandon was not involved in facilitating this shooting from occurring. But in that statement, it says the street, this is Brandon Miller's attorney, the street was never blocked by Brandon's vehicle. Gunfire erupted shortly after the Jeep arrived. A Jeep arrived behind Brandon Miller's car, and Brandon's vehicle was struck by bullets fired from one of the guns. Brandon quickly left the area when gunfire erupted. As soon as he was notified that someone had been injured and the police wished to speak to him, he has fully cooperated with law enforcement's investigation. So, yeah, it is surprising that he's leaving in a hail of bullets. That's an odd thing. I think for me, this new reporting from the New York Times, where they are correcting old reporting after getting sued, and then all of a sudden this new person, Cooper Lee, enters the fray and says, "Yep, I was in the car too." This to me is important, and this is why. It illustrates what I think is the major concern for a lot of these teams right now, especially coming out of the combine when they had Miller and his lawyer essentially present the teams with a statement that says, "I can't talk about any of this stuff." Teams are worried about selecting Brandon Miller number two, number three, whatever. They're worried about selecting him, and then some other information coming out that makes the team look bad, that makes Brandon Miller look like a different person than they feel like they are drafting in terms of his character. And so this new piece of information, this Cooper Lee information, is just an example of how this story continues to develop. And teams have to ask themselves, is it worth investing all of this in a story that could develop in a way that really changes the whole calculus, you know, of who you think you're drafting?
Well, and so it's a good point, because now we have new information on this. It just kind of leaves your eyebrows raised a little bit, like, okay, what other information is going to come out on this, which is your point. Here's my thing. And again, it is a little bit of an embarrassing point on my part, because I've been someone that's been talking about this incident on this podcast. I've been someone talking about it on radio, and I just didn't know that it was that soon. And so this information, as you read it, Doug, a part of what you said, TuscaloosaNews.com or something like that. Yeah. That's the publication that you found it on. Mm-hmm. So this actually adds a little bit of a different element to me, because in that reporting that you read, it read that as soon as he was contacted by the police, he fully cooperated, which is great. Great. Fully cooperate. You check that box off. But also, Doug, It's not the best look if your car gets hit by stray bullets, multiple bullets, and you don't go report anything yourself, right? When you do have something to the point where you are bringing a weapon to a situation, and then it is not reported that you are the one that sought out any kind of authorities in order to relay information, and they were to want the ones to reach out to you in order to get this. Like, I'm not saying, if I put myself in that situation, I could put myself as just a scared kid, knowing that I'm a part of an Alabama basketball team, that I'm actually really bleeping good, and that I'm going to get drafted in the top at least five at the time. And I don't want to throw my life away. What's going on? I can put myself in those shoes and think, man, that's got to be really scary. It also shores enough. It doesn't mean that he needs to go to jail. I'm not saying that there's anything crazy new from this. It is still criminally the same extent. He is not criminally involved, and nor from the information that we have right now, nor do I think he should be. I don't want anybody to get this twisted to what I'm saying. This does add another element of very poor decision making that I think has been upped a little bit. If that's true, right? I will put this under the caveat of him of saying, if he didn't go to authorities before he had to be contacted about this, I do think that's a problem. Now, if he went himself and said, look, you know, fine, right? And I'm glad that he was forthcoming in any information that he did have at the time. But this does add another element of really poor decision making, Doug, being in the midst. And also, man, like, allow me to do this, like with Nate Oates in Alabama, just not holding him out. Yo, that's always been egregious. But now it's even more egregious, even just for the health of Brandon Miller. Like, dog, you were just in a situation where you were shot at. How about we chill for a little bit, even if it's just for your mental health? And I'm serious about that. If you don't think Brandon Miller should be arrested, cool. There's nothing to arrest him on right now. Totally understand it. But just for himself, Bama, like, let him chill for a second, because that's got to be tough, man. Yeah, this adds a different element to me, Doug.
Oh, look, you know, no Miami Heat 2-3 zone's going to scare this guy. I mean, he's faced down.
Wow, that's true.
A hail of gunfire. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of the situation. It's just, if you're the team, you've got to figure out, and it's almost, as I say this, I'm like, man, it seems impossible to try to figure this out. But you have to do your best to figure out, is Brandon Miller somebody that was totally wrong guy at the wrong time, didn't know what he was getting himself into, and just, you know, really circumstances didn't go his way? Or are you dealing with somebody that really kind of wants to be part of these situations for whatever reason, and you may be on the verge of drafting the next Ja Morant situation, where a guy just continually puts himself in situations that distract from the overall goal, which for any top three pick, I would say, should be, hey, I want to be the best player out of this draft. I have the potential to be the best player out of this draft. Mm-hmm. I'm being drafted by a team wanting me to be the best player in this draft. And so all the focus needs to be there. You know, that's what this team has to figure out. And June 10th, 5 days away, they're going to interview him, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk more about it as more updates come out. I guess maybe even a few months before we actually talk about it. Maybe that's what happens too. It's the Locked On Hornets podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We appreciate you for making us your first listen. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back with you tomorrow.